This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
For our radio audiences, I would like to say that this is Raymond Charles Barker speaking to you from Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. We have our hour together here every Sunday morning. In New York, it's 11:05. In San Francisco, you get it at 9 in the morning. And the other stations are all 11:05. Now, we come together to blend our minds together in one consistent spiritual idea that life can be and should be a great spiritual experience, a great experience of good, of life, love, and beauty, and truth, and all the rest of it. Now you're going to say, well, but why haven't we got all this? Because we haven't believed it, we haven't expected it, we have lived under the old laws of thought, we have believed in a power that doled itself out in small segments upon request, and instead of that we know there is one infinite creative cause, one infinite mind, one infinite spirit, that it is in all, through all, as all, and that it is in action in us individually. It is in our consciousness. Our capacity to be aware, to know, to sense. All right, we're here. We're going to take a moment to take this into our subconscious minds. That there is one great creative cause, and that it is in us, in action through us, and always working for our expanded good. This one creative power, intelligence, in action, individually, collectively, for our expanded good. This subtle action of mind and spirit is now activated in our individual thought, feeling. Therefore, we are inspired, and every phase of our life has expanded good. We subconsciously accept this, and we know that it is so, and so it is. We're going to turn to the third inside page of our program to sing the song. Before we do it, I'd like to say that a very dear friend of mine, a very wonderful voice, is with us. He's coming on stage to sing it with you. And I'll tell you first, because if I don't, out in the lobby, he'll tell you. He sang at my ordination in 1940. Now, we were both very young. I want to get clear on that. Yeah. I was the youngest man they'd ever ordained, in fact, at Unity School in Kansas City. And he had a glorious voice then. We've been close friends since, and we're glad to have him come out in a moment and lead us in this great old song. Let me just read the first verse for the radio audience. Lo, at last the revelation comes fulfillment of the dream. Mind has built itself creation, where the law shall be supreme. For this law let all the living joyfully their voices raise. To the constant life abundant, known and unknown, we all praise. All right, and shall we stand for this? As you probably know, if you've looked at your program, I'm speaking on healthy mind, healthy body. If there's one thing we believe here, more than anything else, it's exactly that. We believe in healthy minds, and by healthy minds, we could define it from now to the end of the hour. To me, a mind is healthy when it is in the now and contemplating the future correctly. I think I'll say that again. To me, a healthy mind is one that is in the now and contemplating the future correctly. Therefore, a healthy mind would have a minimum of fear. It would have a minimum of fear. It would be creative, expectant. It would be loving. It would be kind. It would flow along with in ways of pleasantness and paths of peace, as the psalmist would say. It would be that kind of a mind. Now, this kind of mind with a minimum of negatives would be a healthy, creative, dynamic mind that should create, maintain, and develop a healthy body. Now, as you know, we have more systems of body health in the world than has ever been. Everybody knows what we should eat. Everyone knows what vitamins we should take. Everyone knows how much exercise we should get. And may I say, they tell me all this too. Everybody's concerned that I don't eat right, or I don't take the right vitamin, or I don't get enough walking, or I don't get enough rest, you know. Now, out of this has come our great strides in modern nutrition, great strides in modern exercise, modern methods of meditation, the whole bit. In other words, if you walk into one of our larger bookshops, there'll be 200 books telling you how to get well, stay well, be well, and the whole thing. Now, one book will tell you you shouldn't eat this, that, or the other. Another book will tell you another thing you shouldn't eat. And, of course, if you read them all, you end up not eating. And that's something I do not do. Now, these are all material systems, and they're all good. Thank God we've got them because they are helping people. They are bringing us knowledge that we as a people have needed, particularly the people of our generations where we do not, anyway, live like our great-grandfathers did, all of whom lived to be 90 and 100 years old. So, now, if you want material advice, you can get it there. We don't sell these books. But you can go to any big bookshop and you can just put four or five in your hand and be sure that you're going to live forever and well. Now, the only trouble is it doesn't work. Did you hear me? It helps people. Oh, yes, I'm not saying it doesn't. But your health is determined largely, and I would say completely, by your states of mind, your states of consciousness. Now, this is why every savior, east and west, north and south, every savior has given intelligent advice about what we should be doing with our minds. Very few of them told us what to do with the body. Jesus said it was not that which you put into the mouth that defiled you, it was that which came out of the mouth that would defile. He said that you could become so spiritually minded that you could drink poison. Well, don't try it. I'm not that spiritually minded, thank you. And I don't want you to try it either. I average one funeral a week and that's enough. I don't need six a day. Now to come back. What you're doing with your mind determines your body reaction, Because body is only a field of reaction. It is not a field of action. Body cannot cause anything in and of itself. It is literally plastic matter, plastic substance, and is of no value whatsoever when you leave it. Without you as consciousness, the body isn't. It disintegrates, goes back to the major natural sources. You can't even walk out of this hall today just by body. Your consciousness has to say, all right, even subconsciously, you may not even do it. All right, it's time to stand, go over to one of the exits, walk up the stairs, go out in the lobby. Because unless your subconscious mind says that to you, you'll just sit right where you are forevermore. Well, I won't, because they'll see to it you get out by 2 o'clock for the next concert. But the body is a reaction. It cannot act in and of itself. It cannot produce disease or health. The body. It never has, and it never will. If you eat incorrectly, it is because your mind, your consciousness, decides to eat that way. And so this afternoon and this evening, just remember that when you have your second piece of cake. You're the one that determines it. The stomach doesn't say, give me. Stomach's very quiet about the whole thing. It takes whatever you give it and does the best that it can with it. You determine all of your health or non-health habits. Your consciousness does. Mine does for me. So when this hour is over, I will subconsciously, without even knowing it, but my subconscious mind will say, it's time to walk off stage. And I'll walk. Huh. So, right then, the body cannot make itself sick. Now, I'm sure that our good friends in the medical profession would not take that 100%. But through the last 100 years, we have known this and proven it to ourselves. We can't prove it to anyone else. We have proven it to our own selves. And if you want a healthy body, you have to have a healthy mind. Now, how many people do you know? Maybe this afternoon you want to do a little thinking. How many people do you know that have a healthy mind and a healthy attitude? Healthy mind and a healthy attitude. And you may be surprised at how few people you know that have it. You may be quite surprised. Think about some of your close friends, your dear ones, and you may discover that they are actually fairly negative in every aspect of their thinking, feeling, nature. And when you suggest that they change, they say, oh no. They don't say they're polite to you and say yes. But subconsciously they say, no, I'm not going to change. I am the way I am. That's all right if you like the way you are. If you like the way you are, that's fine. If you sitting out there today are the epitome of health, creativeness, expectancy of good, lack of fear, then you're fine. You're great. But so many people accept themselves negatively and think that's the way it is. I remember my dear old Aunt Maud. She got older, she used to say, well, you have to die of something. She did. I had the funeral. Now, to me, it's not going to be true of me. Some night I'm going to bed and sound asleep and not wake up in the morning. That's RCB. That's my way. She had quite a long, lengthy illness because she had, I've heard her say it once, I heard her say it 25, 30 times. And so the subconscious mind says, I get it. You've given me instructions. I'll carry them out. Now, to be negatively minded is to be mentally diseased, and I don't mean that in the sense of a psychiatrist's report. Look, your body requires fresh food. Your mind requires fresh ideas. Your body requires fresh nourishment, the whole bit. Your mind needs the new. Your body cannot consume what you ate 2 weeks ago. So you have to provide it with new, varying foods, nourishment. And this you do automatically. Now, when is the last time you've had a really new thought? I can't answer it for you. I'm sure with myself it was only this morning or yesterday, because I practice this. Most people you know are talking about the same things today they talked about 5 years ago. And they're doing it in about the same voice. Now, the individual situations may have changed. But they'll always find one to take its place. I know people that if I were to go to dinner with them, and I won't, they would tell me exactly what they told me the last time that I went to dinner with them. I have seen more lovely dinners ruined by the conversations that took place at the table. And so I go to the door at the right time afterwards to thank the hostess for a lovely dinner. Because you're supposed to lie. You're not with me today, are you? Usually I got a great response out of you. All right. You had the extra hour to sleep last night. Maybe you haven't fully awakened yet. Now to come back. That a dinner in which the food was delicious, but the conversation almost nauseous. Run down the government, run down the city, run down everybody else, run down, run down. And isn't it awful? And the more I think of it, the worse it is. And then they go on and on and on. Now, I sit there and join the conversation because you have to be in it. And when I go home, I sit down and say, all right, let's clear out our minds. My mind. Let's clear out, because whoever it was went to a great trouble to provide a pleasant time. And it isn't the hostess's fault that her guests ruined it. So I sit down and say, wait a minute. I want to, anything I heard during that dinner and the subsequent conversations that is negative, destructive, I want you, subconscious mind in me, to delete it, get rid of it, as though it had never happened. Yes, you have people that will tell you the same thing today they told you 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And maybe that's too far back. Maybe 1 year back is enough. The repetition of negatives, the repetition of all this, whether it's at a dinner party or whether you meet them on the street, you know, matters not. And of course, the people that have telephonitis, that's a wonderful way to transmit negatives. Because we make that terrible mistake of asking, how are you? And then we get it. Then we get it. I vow I'm going to stop asking people on the telephone how they are. Because then they tell me. And it's rare that one says, I feel great. And I feel wonderful. And it's a good day, no matter what the weatherman says or anything else. And I like being alive. I don't get that over the telephone. Nope. It's a dreary day. It'll be raining tomorrow, probably. And the the way things are, and on and on and on. So, next time you make a telephone call, think of what you're going to talk about before you make it. Especially if you're going to call me. Think about that. Healthy mind, healthy body. Not just a physical body that's healthy, a whole body of consciousness, a body of thought, which is the operating body of the individual. And it needs to be creative. Now you're going to say, but Dr. Barker, I am so fearful. All right, then why don't you start to get rid of your fears? Just start to get rid of your fears. Now you're going to say, well, but how do I do that? There's a statement in the book of Romans where it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace within ourselves. Now, how do you get rid of fear? Outside on our book tables, we have probably 50 books that'll tell you exactly how to do it. But they can only tell you how to do it. You see, if I were to read a book on tennis, and closed the book and said, that's very interesting, and that's all I ever did, I might just as well have not read the book on tennis, or golf, or whatever. Now, how do you erase fear? Over a period of time, you can. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Why? Because the whole world is basically afraid. And that's nothing new about that, it always has been. No wonder that Jesus got no response when he went around and said, have faith, have faith, have faith. And they all looked at him and thought, oh, Lord. You know, the man's crazy. Because in those days, they were afraid of the Roman emperor, the empire, and the whole bit. I'm sure they were afraid of taxes and the whole bit. But they were afraid. Now, you can reduce fear down to a minimum if you work at it. And the books will tell you how to do it. Some Sunday I'll give a lecture here and tell you how to do it. And then it's up to you. It's up to you. You see, I think the fears in your mind and the negative attitudes and ideas in your mind are even more important to watch than a physical exercise, vitamins, or anything else, correct eating habits. Because they will determine that. But you see, we go along. We assume everything is all right the way we are. As I said earlier, it may be that that is true of you. I don't know. I only know that I need new ideas, new books to read, new things to examine all the time. I have a stack of books, at least five high, next to my desk, and they're there for one reason, to keep my mind going into areas which I do not yet know, may not need to ever know, but it gives me a flow of new ideas, new thoughts, new opinions. And some of them are very healthy because I disagree with them. And that's wonderful. I've had people write me and tell me, Dr. Barker, the first time I read your book, Treat Yourself to Life, I thought it was hogwash. Now, I think it's one of the greatest things that's ever been written on the subject. The first reaction. Now, that first reaction was healthy. Very healthy. Because it made them do some thinking, which later delivered them to a point of light within their own consciousness. It made them do some thinking. Now, to you and to me, ideas are as near as your next thought. Everyone here could right now, even though you've never been to Paris, you could think about the Eiffel Tower. You could shut off Barker and think about the Eiffel Tower, even if you've never been there. You've seen enough pictures of it. Very impressive when you're there. Or whatever else you might want. Ideas are as near as your next thought. You do not have to sit around bored, frustrated, unhappy, and miserable. Because all these ideas are everywhere. Now you have to choose them. You have to select them. Ask yourself, if you're going to be with people today, what can I say today that's a little bit different? What can I say to a person, a group, whatever, that's a little bit different? I have people say, you know, I used to have a lot of friends and I don't have any anymore. No, you've talked yourself out of them. They can't listen to you anymore. Whenever your name flashes through their minds, they think, oh, he, she, whoever it is an unmitigated bore. All he or she does is talk about his office, her or his aches and pains, and her or his fears of the future, and all the rest. You have people that are like that. I have people that I know like that. All right, this afternoon, how can you present a healthier mind without saying you have it? Without ever mentioning you've been listening to me this morning. But introduce something new, vital, interesting, even if it's choice gossip. See, I don't think it's too bad to do a little gossiping. I do it. Now, I don't spend my whole life at it because I'm too busy a person. But what can I say when I'm with people today that will be a little bit different to indicate I have at least trying to have a healthier mind in order to have a healthier body? You see, one of my axioms is that you always go where your mind takes you. You always go where your mind takes you, your consciousness. Now, you don't think, though. But that's the way it is. That's what I call an axiom, meaning it is beyond trying to prove it. You have to just accept it. And I know it's so for me. That life goes in the direction of my great interest. People who are having to create new sources of money for charitable organizations, including a church, always use the phrase, the individual's interest will always go where he puts his money. This is an axiom among fundraisers. That the person's interest will go where his money has been placed. And I'm sure it's right. So here again, to have a healthy mind, you have to have a healthy distribution of finance. A healthy mind requires a healthy distribution of finance. Now, this means wisdom. It means intelligence. But you can think that one out for yourself. Go home and look at your checkbook and say, is this thing sick or is it well? I looked at mine on Friday to write out a check and it was well. And I'm sure I didn't have any people to see on Friday. I'm sure if I had, they said, well, the first of the month is coming. Well, so what? It always has come. You know, the first of the month is coming. I don't care when the first of the month comes because I intelligently plan my income so I can meet every bill that is required on the first of the month. It doesn't bother me a bit if it's the first of the month. But you see, people build that. People love to spend money on charge accounts but hate to pay for it. Oh, they're so grand when they walk into Saks Fifth Avenue. Oh, and put out a little card. And then comes the first of the following month, and oh, Lord. Oh. So, healthy mind, healthy in finance, healthy in opinions. You see, healthy in your attitudes toward the city, the nation, whatever. Healthy in your attitudes toward other people. No one's out to get you. I've had people with that kind of a problem, paranoia. And I just say, now look, you're not that important. That's a healthy delusion. Healthy mind, healthy body, healthy attitudes, healthy love. You gotta love something. A healthy expression of love, which I defined, as you remember, and I didn't define it, Mr. Fromm defined it, as caring. Caring. For other individuals, preferably, but for your home environment, or a pet, or whatever. The ability to care. Maybe that's where you have something there that needs expanding for a healthy mind. The need to care. Yes, we all have to have it. And many people do not have it, and they're very unhappy. The need to care, the need to share. Not the need to buy, the need to share. And it all starts up here. It all starts in consciousness. I better tell the radio audience when I just made a gesture pointing at my head. Because they can't see that. So it's my consciousness, your consciousness. And how can it be spiritually minded? By thinking about creative ideas. Read our type of literature. Read the Bible if that's for you. Anything that gives you something creative to think about. Anything. Why? Because here, as Paul wrote, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace in the individual. So that's all I can do. Peace in the individual self. And I nourish it with creative, dynamic, spiritual ideas. Now, you're going to say, well, do you go around all day long thinking beautiful thoughts? No. First of all, beautiful thoughts don't usually help or heal anything. They're a fantasy, they're a dodge, they're an escape. I'm talking about a nitty-gritty idea. How many people do I really love, and why can't I love more? How many people do I really like, and why can't I find some more to like? How can I speak creatively, and whether they understand me or not is unimportant. They've never understood creative minds anyway. Never. If you don't think so, just go back and look at all the saviors and saints of the history of religion. Not one of them was understood in his or her own time. No, I'm not trying to be understood. I'm trying to think something that will keep me creatively interested. Now, I can go the depression route just as much as you can. I can do that. It's very easy to do. And then you arrive at that final trump, poor little me. No matter what your height is. And then you think, well, what's the use? And then eventually you get out of that. First of all, you have no desire to go out off a roof. What's the use? So you get going again. You say, well, but I'm bored. Well, then find something creative to do. Heavens, you're in the most fascinating city in the world. You don't have to be bored. I'm lonely, all right? What have you got that'll attract other people? What thing have you got that'll attract other people? Find it, be it, and it'll work. You see, I wish that outer disciplines could do it. They never have, and they never will. They help. Oh, yes, they help. There's no question about that. But with the best outer disciplines, if the consciousness is not created, you're going to have symptoms of all kinds. Symptoms of all kinds. Because it begins and it ends in consciousness. You are consciousness, and you can be healthy if you want to. And so endeth the lesson. Mr. Grayson, the Reverend Stewart, is going to have his fall seminar. And you may want to mark it down today, or if you're here, you can get a yellow sheet on it outside today. It's going to be held on Saturday, November 22nd. An all-day session at Wagner College on Staten Island. And the buses will leave from our building, 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. And you'll have lunch there, work in the afternoon, the buses will bring you home again. And if you would like this, and many of you do like it, many of you do like it. I said, well, thank heavens you're not going to have a weekend seminar like you did the last couple of years. And he looked at me with these big eyes and said, why? And I said, because you take 200 of my Sunday morning audience out of Tully Hall. So this way you can go to Wagner College with Mr. Grayson on November 22nd on Saturday and be here the next morning on Sunday. All right. Again, the first of the month means magazines. You go where your mind takes you. You go where your mind takes you. You probably go where your preconceived opinions take you. These ideas that you have just accumulated through the years, and you say, well, they're not necessarily destructive. They certainly are unless they're creative. Old ideas don't create anything new. Old ideas don't create anything new. Great old music has to have new hearers all the time. Great old poetry has to have new readers. The whole bit. So, if you have the same ideas you were working with years ago, they are destructive because they're not creative. Look, it doesn't take an ounce of intelligence to worry. Anybody can do it, and everybody will do it, and everybody is doing it. But why don't you, as it says in the good book, come ye apart and rest a while. Come out of the usual worry, and relax in the new, the fresh, the loving, and the different. All right, we've had a good hour. Shall we now stand for our closing idea together? There is one God, one mind, one intelligence. One life, one field of fresh, creative, dynamic ideas, with a minimum of fear and a maximum of faith. This is what you are and what I am. We are this mind in action. Life in action, love in action, everything that is fine and good in action. We are it. And for this we rejoice and give thanks. So be it, and thank you for coming. Thank you.
more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.